Book of Ezra, the 9th chapter. If you found that, would you stand with us, please? 9th chapter, and God willing, we'll begin reading in verse number 5. As the 9th chapter and the 5th verse, if you found that, will you say amen?
Amen. Amen.
Alright, the Bible says, and at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been shewed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy, thank God, unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. You may be seated. Our Father, good God in heaven, Lord, as we humbly bow in thy presence this hour, Father, we ask you today, dear God, to guide, to lead. Dear Lord, we pray that you'll direct. I pray today, dear God, that you cleanse our mind, empty us of self. Father, I pray that you fill us with your Spirit. I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Father, to say what you would have us to say, and help us not to say that which you would have us not to say. I pray tonight, dear God, if there be one that's lost on their way to a devil's hell, I pray tonight would be the night, dear Lord, that they bow at an old-fashioned altar, Lord God, and confess, Lord, unto you, Lord God, and ask you to forgive them of their sins. Father, if there be one that's backslidden out of fellowship with you, I pray, dear God, that you call them back home, help them to rededicate. Lord God, I pray you reclaim them. Lord God, I pray for the child of God. I pray you'd encourage them and help them tonight. Lord God, be with the churches, Lord God, that's in service tonight. I pray, dear God, Lord, for those that are facing sicknesses and death. Lord God, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help our people. God, touch our country. God, we need you. Thank you. We give you glory and honor. And it's in the lovely name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people together says,
amen. Amen.
Tonight, the context of the Word of God, we find Brother Ezra, our main character tonight here, and whose book, who this book is named after. Here in the book of Ezra, we find, honey, that this is right after the book of Daniel, if you will, chronologically speaking. And we find even after the book of Ezra, chronologically speaking, we find the book of Nehemiah. And we find, thank God, that they were contemporary. They were in the same time frame. And we see in the book of Daniel how that they were carried away into Babylon. How that they were living in bondage. Now we find, thank God, in the beginning of the book of Ezra, we find, according to the Word of God, how that King Cyrus, he had issued a decree, and thank God he allowed some of the Israelites to be able to go back into the land of Jerusalem and to be able to rebuild. And let me just simply say this evening, church. We've been in bondage since March of last year, and I want you to know that it's time for us to go back and to rebuild our temple unto the Lord. You say, what do you mean about that, preacher? I want you to know tonight, honey, that when we look at the book of Ezra,
Ezra. And in the book of Ezra, we find what a beautiful story and a beautiful a real life account of what it was that took place. Honey, but if you miss the whole principle of the book, you've missed the whole meaning. But what is the principle of the book? It is to restore the worship. And let me just simply say this tonight. It's time that we restore the worship in our lives. And let me just say this. Before we can come to the house of God, and before we can gather together in an old-fashioned church, and before we can worship together and lift up holy hands to heaven, we've got to learn to worship God. Honey, when we're alone and everybody can see us. Honey, and listen, you hear me and you hear me well. We find the gospel according to St. Matthew. Honey, the Bible teaches that Jesus spoke. And he said, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me just simply say, honey, if you ever see somebody sitting inside of a church service and they are getting blessed, honey, that is the fruit of what they've been doing in the secret place. That is the fruit of what they've been doing in their private worship. That is the fruit, honey, of what they've done. Honey, when nobody else has been around, well, what do you mean, preacher? I thought tonight, honey, that we know the Word of God teaches again in the Gospel of Matthew. In the 6th chapter, the Bible teaches that Jesus said, honey, that your Father which knoweth what ye have need of. Can I tell you tonight, he knows what I have need of even before I ask it. And let me just simply say, do not ask somebody. Let me just stop right here before I can't even get it out yet. Honey, I'm sick and tired of living in a time frame where everybody looks to flop down and say, what are you going to do for me? Let me just simply say this. We need to realize, honey, that God expects us to be able to do some things for ourselves. Don't ask somebody to pray for you. Honey, if you're not in a shape, honey, to pray for yourself. I mean, neighbor, you've got to make sure that you get your life in a condition where the Holy God of glory hears you whenever you call upon his name. Amen, preacher. You hear me and you hear me well. Honey, the Bible says in the thank you, Lord, in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9 and verse 31. For we know of God heareth not a sinner, but if any man be a worshiper and do his will, amen, God heareth him. We know in the book of Psalms, in the 66th chapter, I'm just going to preach a little bit. Is that all right?
Yes.
In the 66th chapter of the book of Psalms, and the 18th verse, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let me just simply say something tonight. If it's been a while since you felt the presence of God, honey, you better check yourself. If it's been a while, honey, since you've heard the voice of God, you better check yourself. If it's been a while since you felt his hand reach down to where you are, you better check yourself. We're living in a time, honey, that is being indoctrinated, honey, by socialism. Amen, neighbor. Honey, where everybody expects somebody to give them something for nothing. Honey, but the Bible teaches, honey, that a workman is worth his hire. Amen. And if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. I'm still in the book. In the same way, spiritually speaking, you're not going to get blessed until you throw some wood on the fire. You pray for me, I'm hemmed up. We're living in a COVID era where the preacher's got to stay right here.
No.
I'm going to pinch me off an area and put a plexiglass and preach a little while.
Amen.
Now listen, let's just look tonight at the Word of God, and we're going to concentrate on verse number 8. If the Lord would allow us. And if I could tonight, I'd like to preach around this thought. A little is more than enough.
Amen.
A little is more than enough. I want you to look in verse number 8. Oh, Brother Ezra said, thank God. Now let me just make sure we understand. Honey, the book of Ezra says, honey, that Ezra, he was a ready scribe. Oh, you know what a scribe was? He was somebody that was in the book. book. Somebody that wrote down the book. And he was a ready scribe. Hey, if God would come upon you, are you ready tonight? I mean, we need to live our life waiting on the call. I mean, we need to listen. And he's coming in a day and in an hour. When you think not, he's coming looking for a church, honey, that is prepared and adored as the bride of Christ. And can I tell you tonight, you say, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. You're right, I don't, but he does. Preacher, you don't have any idea how I'm going to make it. Let me just say this, I don't, but he does. And he is more than enough tonight.
Amen.
Ezra 9 and 8, the Bible says, and now, for a little space, grace hath been shewed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, and that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Now look at that verse, church. It begins with a little and ends with a little. You know what that tells me? A little is more than enough.
Good.
You say, preacher, what do you mean? I want you to know tonight, honey, no matter what our country's going through, a little of God is more than enough. A little of Jesus is more than enough. You say, preacher, I'd love to get to church more than one time a week, but God knows my heart, and God knows I just can't do it. Well, neighbor, if that's you, thank God, a little is more than enough. You hear me? You hear me well? You say, preacher, I can only read about 7 verses a day. Well, thank God, a little is more than enough. Neighbor, when a world that we're living in puts a much emphasis on quantity instead of quality, don't come to me and tell me what I've read 38 chapters today. Hey, neighbor, how much of it did you get a hold of? I don't care if you have to get through 3 verses. You better understand what you've got a hold of, because a little is more than enough. Neighbor, I want you to know tonight, honey, that Israel, they were in bondage and great affliction, just like maybe some of you feel like tonight. Honey, but I want you to know tonight, well, let's just think about Brother Elijah over there in the book of 1 Kings, in the 17th chapter, we find a man by the name of Elijah. Honey, he was a prophet, having a mighty man of God. Amen. And honey, I want you to know, he could make the waters part. Amen, neighbor. He could absolutely do things, honey, that only we read of and only we dream of. Honey, that I want you to know, honey, the Spirit of the Lord came to him and told him, down there by the brook Cherith. Amen. And you know what God did? Down there at the brook Cherith, he was preparing him. Amen. God sent the ravens. And listen, they were living in a time, honey, where Ahab was king and Jezebel was queen. You know what I'd like to say something about Ahab and Jezebel in the day and age we're living in? Honey, but you hear me and you hear me well. You might not like this and you might not like that, but if God provided for Israel then, God will provide for you and I tonight. A little is more than enough. We need to quit focusing on the great big things and just let God do the little things in our life. Honey, that when we walk, we can get through this and we can get through that, and we can turn and we can say, I don't know how I got through, and we can look back and say, look what God did. Yeah. A little is more than enough.
Amen.
We find the Spirit of the Lord came and spoke to Brother Elijah down there at the brook, the Cherith, and told him to get up. Now listen, Elijah prayed and it rained not for a period of 3.5 years. Where'd that water come from in that brook if it hadn't rained?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Where'd that bread come from?
Yes.
And that the ravens brought him. I believe God. Amen. Where'd that bread come from? I believe God took that raven and flew it through. windows of Ahab and Jezebel's kitchen. They're living in the lap of luxury, living in their bondage, worshiping the little G gods of paganism and idolatry. Amen. They wrote in the book. And you hear me? You hear me well? I mean, the world is going to hell, but I'm not going to be judged with the world. America's making decisions. They kill babies daily, but I'm not going to stand in judgment with America. You hear me tonight? You're going to be judged according to the way you stand. A little is more than enough. The Bible teaches the Spirit of the Lord told Brother Elijah, rise up. Rise up. He said, there is a woman who is a widow. Glory, glory, glory.
Glory!
Elijah headed that direction. And he got back there. And he hollered at her. And she came at him a little bit. He said, fetch me a drink of water. And she went to get him a drink of water. And Elijah said, make me a cake also. I'm in the book. Amen.
Yes,
thank God. I appreciate a preacher that likes to eat. Amen. Was right there. And listen, she turned and said, I have got just a little cruise of oil and a little barrel of meal. And can I tell you tonight, honey, a little is more.
Amen.
He told her, he said, you made for this cake. Now listen, this woman was in a dire situation. The Bible teaches, honey, that she was gathering sticks. She was going to fix that cake. Her and her son had no hope. Her and her son didn't have any more food. Glory. Her and her son. And she said, we're going to make this cake. We're going to eat it. And we're going to die. Elijah said, a little is more than enough. If you'll make this cake for me first, put the man of God first. That's what he was saying. Put the Lord first. That's what he's done. Don't get quiet on me, neighbor. Amen. And you watch what happened. Neighbor, I want you to know, every time she go back to the meal barrel, she take all the rain. She reached 10 or 8 the Lord. Was given unto us Now look at this. In this same verse, give them a little space. Grace had been shewed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. Can I tell you tonight? We're much smaller in number in the church than what we're used to. But a little is more. How about old brother Abraham when he was talking to the Lord? He said, Lord, when the Lord was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was down there, and the Lord listened to Abraham entertaining, and he said, peradventure, they be 50 righteous, and my neighbor, that number kept whittling down, down, and down, all the way to 10, all the way to 5. Hey, neighbor, can I tell you this tonight? A little is more than enough. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, remnant to escape. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Remnant small.
Thank you, Lord.
Remnant to escape.
Amen.
Is that what your King James Bible says?
Yeah.
Amen.
They're in bondage.
Right.
Over 70 years. Mm-hmm. Over 70 years living under paganism. Over 70 years living with killing the babies.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Over 70 years living in a world of sin. But God said, I'm going to let a remnant. What's a remnant? It is a leftover remnant. It is a leftover piece. You know what? You go to a carpet store and you go to get you some carpet. You say, I don't want it off the roll. I don't want to pay full price. I want a remnant. And nobody might understand what that is. A remnant is something that's left over. Can I tell you tonight? Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. They said, we don't want him. But Jesus is our remnant. This world is scared. Now watch. Watch. Oh, Brother Elijah. I can't get off Elijah. We're in Ezra. 1 Kings. Elijah. He had enough. He ran. Amen, neighbor. He ran from Jezebel, that great dead man, that great harlot, that queen who was the son of a pagan king. She married Ahab, who was an Israelite, but it was a political marriage. Now, boy, I could say a lot right there, but I'm not right now. But you hear me and hear me well. Honey, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst, and the Bible teaches that Ahab, he set up a false altars. He set up false idols of Baal, and he worshipped in the house of Baal. He had forsook the Lord. And Elijah, thank God, listen. Honey, he went up on Mount Carmel, and he challenged the prophets of Baal to a warfare. They ran to a contest. Yes. Honey, they built the altar. And the prophets of Baal, honey, they offered the sacrifice, and they called out on the Baal. They called out on the little G God. They called on the idol that had no power, and they cut themselves trying to plead, and nothing ever happened. Thank God that Elijah stepped up. He rebuilt the altar. He went and got 12 barrels of water, and he poured it on it, and he called out on the God of heaven, on the God got all power in heaven and in earth, and the fire came down from God and burned it up. Let it up. Then the Bible teaches that Elijah, watch this, Elijah and his servant, they slew the prophets of Baal. Killed them. But preacher, I don't know why we just can't coexist. I can see some of y'all right now. You've been riding in that car. Am I in neighbor? Some of you might say, well, I don't know why we just all can't get along. Because there ain't no peace with that bunch.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, neighbor.
Amen.
I'm still in the book.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible teaches that they killed all the prophets of Baal. Now, let's stop right here. Under no circumstances am I saying go out here and kill anybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Got that? If you got that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm going to call names out if you didn't say amen. Ben, you say amen? Okay. Watch this. The Bible teaches that Jezebel found out what happened to her prophets. And she started chasing the man of God. Amen, neighbor. You're going over to the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. Going over there to the 19th chapter. You know what the man of God did? One minute he had all power to defeat the enemy. And the next minute he done tucked tail and run.
Yeah.
If the same God that helped you defeat the enemy yesterday,
amen,
is still on the throne of glory,
yeah,
then he's able to help you today.
Yeah.
A little is more than enough.
Right.
The Bible teaches that he went and hid himself in a cave. He called out on glory, having a pity party.
Yes.
I've had pity parties, especially in these last several months.
Amen.
Trying to pastor through COVID, I'm telling you, I wonder what Paul would have done. The Lord
bless
said,
you.
Paul
bless
wasn't
you.
Here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I even thought, Brother Adam, I even thought what Brother Don Blackwell would have done. How would he have handled it? The Lord said, he's not here.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's good.
I've had little pity parties for me, and I felt sorry for me. And the Lord spoke, and he said, remember what the scripture said over there when Paul prayed about the thorn in his flesh? He prayed three times, he prayed thrice, and the Spirit of the Lord said, my grace.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Remember how this scripture started out? And now, for a little space, grace has been shewed. Can I tell you tonight, a little is more than enough.
That's good.
The Spirit of the Lord spoke to Elijah back there in 1 Kings and told him to come out to the mouth of the cave. He said, I've been jealous for you. And the Lord spoke to him. Now listen, neighbor. There was great wind. And there was a great fire. Amen.
Yeah.
There was an earthquake. But God wasn't in all that stuff. See, God's not in the show.
Amen. Amen.
But then God spoke in a small, still voice. Let's take that word tonight, small, and let's give it a synonym, little.
Yeah.
When the little voice of God speaks in your heart,
amen,
and you feel like you've got this void inside of your heart, and God just speaks sweet somethings.
Yeah.
Just exactly what you
need.
A little is more than enough. Now watch this. Let's move on. In this same verse, I want you to look with me. I thank God tonight. I want you to know, church, that we're living in a time. We don't have a political problem. We've got a prayer problem. We're living in a time when America has got the greatest debt clock, the greatest debt total of any country in the world. Now watch this. America does not have a financial problem. America has a faith problem.
Amen.
We put our eyes on this thing down here. We put our eyes on self. And we need to put our eyes on God. Because a little is more than enough. Now look here. He said, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God might lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. What is that, preacher?
Amen.
And to give us a little reviving in our bondage.
Yeah.
When we can come to the house of God and our hearts be pure and our hands be clean with God. Yeah. And all at once the Holy Ghost.
Yes. You're right.
Blows across the back of your neck. And the warm hands of God comes around your bosom and hugs on you and loves on you. And you can cry. And your neighbor might say, well, I don't know what they're crying about. Because a little is more than enough. You hear me and hear me well. Honey, I want you to understand, honey, that if you could bottle it up and sell it, you'd be a millionaire. Honey, but I want you to know tonight, honey, that God's not in that. He's not in the show. Honey, but when we can come together just as we are and have clean hands and a pure heart, we can ascend under the heel of glory, and we can kneel down at the feet of the King of Glory and say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this trial. I don't know how I'm going to get through this problem, but I believe you. I trust you. A little is more than enough. We don't need all the answers in the world. We don't need this whole world peace. All we need is to be obedient unto what God has asked us to do.
You're right.
A little is more than enough.
Amen.
Now watch this. I'm going to try to circle the airport. I want you to know tonight, neighbor, we don't need a big revival to get right with God.
Amen. Amen.
All we need to do is to get along with God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
I heard a preacher the other day say, trying to challenge people to read, and I say, praise the Lord. I'm glad that people will challenge one another to read the Word of God. And he made this statement. He said, in 12 minutes of Bible reading a day, you can read through the whole Bible in 1 year. And I say, that's fine. That's well. That's okay. I'm not against that. But neighbor, if you don't retain it,
Amen.
If you have to read the same verse 17 times, you read the same verse 17 times. Because the Bible, the Word of God, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Its words will I hide in my heart that I may not sin against Him. Neighbor, it's not about the quantity. It's about the quality. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Listen, I love chocolate cake. Amen. Right there. Thank God you put some German chocolate icing on it and we'll just shout it out. And I want you to understand that I don't like it until it is finished.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, you can take the mix and you can have the flour, you can have the mix, you can have the eggs, and all those are good ingredients, and I'm not mocking it. But when it's by itself, it's no good.
Right. Yeah.
But when it's prepared.
Yeah.
See, that's what we've done tonight.
Yeah. Come on, man.
The Spirit of the Lord spoke to them as they were singing.
Yeah.
And God had turned on the mixer.
Right.
He was taking your eggs. He was taking your flour. Amen. He was taking your water. He put us in the mixing bowl. Thank God. And He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see Him, thank God, neighbor, I want you to know, I ain't made it yet. I ain't got home yet. But one day, I'm going to lay down my crown. Honey, at the feet of the Lord, I'm going to lay down. I'm going to kneel at His feet. And I'm going to worship Him forever. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. A little is more than enough. I struggled working through these parking lots, these virtual services.
Bless you, Pastor.
I said, well, we won't be here long. It'll be long. They'll have this thing whipped real quick, fast, like in a hurry. Then I found we're meeting out on the parking lot in lawn chairs. And man, I'm telling you, the sun was baking and roasting this old fella. An old smart aleck Adam Lowe said, preacher, have you ever thought about putting a tin up?
Maybe.
I thought, well, why did I think of that? Because I didn't think we'd be out there long, man.
Right.
Then we were under the tent, we all worked together and we put the tent up. We didn't put lights on it.
Right.
Time started losing a minute a day.
Amen.
Then we got over here to Wayne Rooney, I believe, in front of the stables of preaching. We didn't have no lights, and I thought, Lord, I didn't think about it because I didn't think we'd be here this long.
Amen.
We put fans out. Brother Ben, back there in the back, he said, Preacher, I've got a heater. When it starts getting cold, I'm thinking, we ain't going to need that heater. We ain't going to be out there that long.
Right.
Amen. And then I said, Ben, can you bring that heater next to us? See, I don't have all the answers. It takes all of us working together. Then it wasn't long until they started forecasting snow, and I said, Lord, we got to get that tent down.
Right.
Yeah.
I never would have thought we'd have been here that long. So if I say we're living in COVID bondage, that's what I mean.
Right.
When we're living in COVID bondage. But you know, even in our COVID bondage, He can give you a little space.
Amen.
Grace.
Amen.
He can give you a little revival.
Yeah.
In our bondage, a little is more than enough. I'm going to show you four things, maybe five, four things out of this one verse, and then I'm going to be done. I want you to look with me tonight as we go back and we reread this verse. I've got so much more I'd love to say. He said, and now, for a little space, grace hath shewed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little revival in our bondage. Look at the wind. Now. Y'all see that?
Amen.
Look at the wind. Now.
Amen.
Church, you don't have to wait till next service to get right with God.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to wait till next service to get them things out of your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to wait until next service to dig that root of bitterness that's been growing.
Amen.
And now, did you catch that wind? Now look here. Look at the who. He said, and now for a little space, grace hath been shewed from the Lord our God. That's the who. And you ought to be thankful that the God that created the heaven and the earth thought enough about you to show you this grace.
Amen.
See, we as Gentiles, non-Jews,
right.
We should have been disqualified.
New covenant.
But God,
wherewith
His great love,
wonderful.
But God.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
But God, a little is more than enough. We seen the when, we seen the who, look at the why. Why would He do that? Look at the last part of that verse. The second to the last part. That our God might lighten our eyes. You know what He was doing whenever He lightens your eyes? Has it ever just clicked? You know, one of those moments? Whenever it just dawned on you, have you ever read through the scripture and thought, well, I just don't understand that. And you read it 28 times just yesterday, and you can't comprehend it, you can't understand it. You call your preacher, and he can't understand it, he can't get it across. And you say, well, maybe it just meant for me to understand. Then one night, you're in a service somewhere, and old gray-haired mommy stands up and testifies in the Holy Ghost. Blows through and God turns the light on. God makes it click and He brings that verse back to your mind. And thank God, no matter what you're going through, the Word of God, neighbor, is the only word. It is the only book that has ever been written that that if you're saved, when you read it, the author is always present. Neighbor, you understand, you'll never outrun the love of God.
Amen.
A little is more than enough.
Amen.
Watch this last thing. We sing the when, we sing the who, we sing the why. Now let's look at the where. Look at the last three words. In our bondage. Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
Right there where you're living. When you feel like there is no way that anybody would understand what kind of burden you're going through. He's more than enough.
Yeah.
When nobody would understand the load that you're pulling, He's more than enough. When nobody would understand how people have talked about you and put you down and lied on you,